We're in our third and last installment of this series, True-ish. And we're in this series, we're talking about things that people say from a biblical perspective. And because sometimes what people say is true, and sometimes what people say is false, but sometimes what people say is true-ish. It's true-ish. It's got enough truth to be dangerous. It's got enough truth to be believable in some ways. But if you start putting too much weight on it, then it falls apart. If you're a note taker in your service guide, there's some opportunities to take some notes, and I encourage you to do so, because if you do not know what stress is, you will. And when you're in a time of stress, it's hard to try to think clearly enough to deal with it properly. So you can go back to the notes that you'll take today and say, ah, I remember what the Word of God says. It's not so important what Micah Sutton says. It's vitally important what the Word of God says. And so you'll be able to go back and say, here's what the Bible says about this and how I can live a stress-free life. Because what people say is that life is stressful, that stress kills, and you can't avoid it. And that's true-ish. Stress can do negative things to you and in you. In fact, I'll tell you that a couple of years ago, I started having some stomach pains. And after a few days, the stomach pains didn't go away. And then after a few weeks, the stomach pains didn't go away. Then after about a month, the stomach pains didn't go away. And so finally, I capitulated and I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you know, what I think is going on here, it seems like the tests are showing that you have a stomach ulcer. And I said, really? That's unfortunate for me. And so he said, what's your diet like? And so I told him, and we eat fairly healthy. So he said, okay, it's probably not your diet. He said, how much do you drink? I said, well, I drink lots of water and a little bit, lots of Diet Coke and lots of iced tea. And I've since cut out the Diet Coke part, but I still drink the water. And he said, no, how much alcohol do you drink? And I said, I don't drink much alcohol at all at the time, probably none. And so he said, okay, that's not it. Then he said, well, how much stress are you under? Ah, now you hit upon it, Doc, because I'd been under a lot of stress for an extended period of time. And what he told me is that what you have is a stress-induced stomach ulcer, so what you need to do is reduce your stress. Which worked. I was fine from that day forward. You never had another problem. It was great. All my stress went away, no other issues. How many wish it worked like that? Amen, brother and sister. So it didn't work that way. I had to go through the medication, and ultimately the stress remained, but the ulcer was healed. And thankfully, the stress has reduced over the years, and now the ulcer isn't there. Here's the thing. Not all stress will kill you. But when people say, I'm stressed out, they're not talking about the good kind of stress that comes from exercise or learning and other things. They're talking about the stress, and this is the working definition we've been using, that stress that comes, that feeling that comes when one perceives that the demands of life are greater than their resources in life. And they're constantly working at a deficit, and they're trying to make it work, and it just never seems to work. And we can avoid it, and we try to avoid it, we try to distract ourselves, and sometimes we drink our way out of stress, and sometimes we drug our way out of stress, and sometimes we play our way out of stress, and just try to act like it's not existing, but it does. And so that doesn't work. And so the Bible gives us some definition. It gives us some direction, if you will. Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and he says, let me tell you how to live a stress-free life. In addition to loving other Christians, seek to lead a quiet life. So we talked about that, and the Bondies recently were on vacation, and they were down in Amish country, and they posted on Facebook a picture of them with the guy who was plowing his field with a big team of horses, and they were saying that when they saw it, it brought to their remembrance living a quiet life and how this is a quiet life, and this is so cool. So apparently the answer is we all need to get horses, and that'd fix it. But we live a quiet life. We're trying to live within our means. We know that what we have and who we are is enough. And then he says, we talked about it last week, to mind your own business. And we found out that that's not just about staying out of other people's businesses, but it's about minding your own. focusing yourself on the business at hand that God has blessed you with. And then lastly, and what we're going to talk about today, is he said, work with your own hands as we commanded you. It's a command from God to do these three things. Why? So that you may walk properly in the presence of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone. So I want you to do these things so that you can be confident in any company, and whatever the demand may be on your life, you will have the resource necessary to meet the demand. You will stand independent of other people. Now, we've talked about the first two, and our big idea today is step number three to stress-free living is to work with your own hands. If you read that in the complete Jewish Bible translation, it says, earn your living by your own efforts. Earn your living by your own efforts. Now, the reason why I want to differentiate and make sure that this is clear and use a different translation is because working with your own hands does not mean crafting things out of your own hands like those who built this platform did. There's some great craftspeople in our church that built this stage, this part of the stage, and I feel confident that I can do this and not fall through because they are good at working with their hands. And if I had done this, I probably wouldn't be so confident to walk upon it because that's not the gifting that I have. But the purpose, the point of Scripture is not that you physically create something with your hands, but it is that you are being productive from your life. Whether it's ideas or it's concepts, whether it might be production from your own hands as far as something you physically create, it might be something that you write. Whatever it is, make sure that your life is being sustained by that which you yourself are producing in life, through what God gave you. And that we have three thoughts today, and thought number one is this. God is productive, and he expects production from us. And that word expects is a tough one, because a lot of people, we really like the benefits of things, but we don't particularly care for the expectations that come with the benefits. How many would like to receive a paycheck and not have to go to work tomorrow? Probably not going to happen, because there's an expectation there. God is productive. From day one, the first thing we know about God is that he produces. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, let there be. So the first two things we see God do is produce. He produces the heavens and the earth. He produces light. He produces from what he has. The resources within him, he produces something outside of him. His first action after creating Adam and Eve was to bless Adam and Eve. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28, he's created Adam and Eve, and now it says, and then rather God blessed them. He said, let me put my blessing upon you. I'm going to affirm you. I'm going to put some of my presence, some of my character, some of my my ability into you. I'm going to bless you. But then the second thing that God does, and the first thing that God says to Adam and Eve, we continue in verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So he said, I'm going to bless you, but I'm not just blessing you so you can go do nothing. I'm blessing you, and now I am commanding production from your life. Be fruitful. Take what I've blessed you with and produce something from it outside of yourself, and multiply. Be productive in population growth. Then he says, fill the earth and govern it. So that's productive in exploration and in management. In the Christian world, sometimes we get labeled with the idea that we're not environmentally friendly. And that should not be true, because the Scripture gives us a declaration from God to govern the earth. We should be governing the earth in every aspect. Now, what that looks like, I'm not trying to make a political point here. What that looks like, we have all kinds of different ideas on that. But the idea that we are to produce something good from the earth that God has blessed us with, that is just straight from Scripture. Then he says, reign over the birds and the fish and the animals. So be productive in resource development. Develop the resources of the earth. And sometimes we develop them through conservation efforts. And sometimes we develop them through putting butter and lemon and other things. But they're being managed. We're being productive with these resources. So here's the takeaway from all of this. What God creates, God blesses. Did God create you? If God created you, apparently we're not sure in this service. I don't know. Did God create me? Did God create you?
Yes.
And so if God created you, then God has blessed you. And so if God has blessed you, then God is expecting production from you. Because what God blesses produces. Production always follows blessing. Look at the story of Abraham, the father of the faithful. He is blessed by God, and then God says, now here's what I want you to do with the blessing that I've given you. Look at the early church. The disciples, the 120, are up in the upper room. They're waiting for the promise of the Father. The Father blesses them with the Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts chapter 2. But they do not have a second of, and here's the Holy Spirit, now just, you know, whatever you want to do is fine. No, before they ever received the blessing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had already told them, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to be witnesses. Wait, no, I want the Holy Spirit so I can chill. No. Jesus says you're going to have receive the Holy Spirit, and when that happens, you're going to have a job to do. You're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the earth. And not only that, the minute that they received this great promise from the Father, immediately there were people outside going, hey, what's that all about? So they had to turn around from receiving the blessing to dispensing the blessing in wisdom and understanding and knowledge to the people that were waiting outside. And that day, 3,000 souls were saved. And so here you go. You go from being blessed to immediately being productive with the blessing of God in your life. God says, I'm expecting production. If you're blessed in salvation, then be productive with the salvation from your life. If you're blessed in a family, then be productive with the family that God's blessed you with. If you've been blessed with resources, then be productive with the resources that God has. He expects production from our life. And that brings us to thought number two. And that is, producing consistently isn't easy. One of the things many pastors struggle with over years is that Sunday comes every week. And every Sunday, people want you to say something brilliant that they've never heard before in a way that does not offend anybody or make anyone feel uncomfortable. Amen. You're in the wrong church. I'm sorry. No, you're in the right church. It's the brilliance that I was concerned about. Why? Because we have to produce each time. When you show up, what is presented to you needs to be worthy of you showing up. That's part of the contract here. It's part of what we do. It's part of the calling of God. But it's not always easy to be consistently productive. Scripture teaches that there are two things necessary for good, consistent production from your life. And the first thing that's necessary for this production from your life is this four-letter word called work. Sometimes it's just work. I will tell you that there are times in my life where studying for a message or a series and leading a church is just a joy upon joy. I get up in the morning and I'm just excited. I can't wait. I'm just all involved. And sometimes I get up in the morning and just like you, I pull the covers back over my head and go, really? Is it already morning? And I sit there at my computer and I say, Jesus, if you don't say nothing right now, Lord, then you and I are going to be embarrassed on Sunday morning. That's what's going to happen. So you best make it work, Lord. I thank God he's God and I'm not. And I thank God we always can depend on him. But sometimes it's just work. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, this is God speaking to Adam. He says, "By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made." You don't ever really get to stop working. And you might say, "Well, wait a minute. I'm retired. I don't work anymore." You still clean your house. There's still weeds that come up in your yard unless you do something about it. There's still bills to pay, and there's still management of resources to do. I was just talking to some grandparents here a few minutes ago. They've got calluses on their hands from driving their grandkids all around the world. Some grandparents need to be liberated by the word no. But that's another subject, another sermon, and one that I'm probably never going to preach because that's dangerous material right there. We don't always like to work, though. When Talon's 19 now, but when he was 8, he came to Christy and I one day and he said, "Mom and Dad, there's this new video game out and I really want this video game. This is, you know, it's so much fun and all my friends are playing and I really want this video game." And so we checked it out, decided it'd be cool for him to have the video game. So we said, here you go, bud. Here's 3 or 4 things that you can do around the house to be able to earn enough money to buy this video game. And to our shock and surprise, he just looked really sad and downcast whenever we shared that news with him. And I said, "What's wrong, Talon?" He said, well, "I said I wanted a video game. I did not say that I wanted to work for this video game." Well, let me just tell you how the world works, son. And I praise God he's got a great work ethic now. But the fact of the matter is sometimes it's just work. Here's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 say about it. Paul's writing, it says, "Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. We commanded you, those unwilling to work will not get to eat." That is tough. And it seems kind of mean. "Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business." See, if you don't have business of your own to mind, you'll get into other people's business. And Paul's saying, get out the business and get some business of your own. "We command," again, I command, "such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living." You need to be independent and work. The second ingredient needed to live a productive life is pruning. Pruning. Now look at what the Bible says. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 15. He says, "I am the true grapevine," this is Jesus speaking, "and my Father is the gardener." So he's identifying himself and God the Father. He said, "I'm the grapevine. God, my Father, is the gardener. He." Now, who's that he referring to right there? Not a trick question. It's God. So everybody say it together. It's God. Good. I'm making sure we know that because what it's coming next seems difficult. It seems tough. It seems harsh. "He," or God, "cuts off every branch of mine. Those who are connected to me, he cuts off the branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit." So the one who doesn't produce anything, God says, "Wait a minute, you're receiving resources from me, but you're not being productive with the resources that you're receiving. So what I'm going to do is cut you off, and you're not going to receive those resources anymore." Now, it doesn't mean that someone that's unproductive is unsaved. It does mean that God may not continue to push his resource through you. I hope that I'm being clear. The old saying is, the rich become richer, the poor become poorer. Now, I'm not going to speak to the poor side of that statement, but let me speak to the rich side of that statement for a moment. The reason why most rich people get richer is because they're being productive with what's in their hands. Now, you might say, well, Micah, and you probably want to say a lot of other things there to describe Micah for a moment. You simpleton, Micah. If I were rich, I would also be productive with what I had. But I would offer to you that if you are not productive with $10, you're probably not going to be productive with $10 million. Because it is a matter of stewardship. Be a good steward over small things, then God allows you to be a steward over many things. It's an issue of stewardship. So most people who are wealthy were not born into wealth. They earned their way into wealth. Wedding friends, influencing people. And what God is saying is, if you're productive with what I've given you, I'm going to allow nutrients to continue to flow into you. But just because you're being productive doesn't mean you'll never feel the pain of pruning. Pruning, the productive branch is pruned. Why? So that they will produce even more fruit. See, here's the thing. Working and pruning, these are not positive things, but they're all necessary for continued and elevated production from our lives. No matter what we're doing, no matter what area of life we're doing it in order for us to continue to be productive, something's going to have to go. There are things that I do not do in life that I actually like to do, but I don't do it. Because if I have that in my life, I will not be able to put enough attention on the things that really matter. And that has been pruned out of my life. Some of it by me, some of it by God. There have been relationships. Maybe you're right now, you're going, I don't know why I keep why I lost that relationship. Maybe God's pruning something out of your life. Well, I don't know why that situation didn't work. Maybe God's pruning something out of your life. He's pruning something out of your life so that you can become more productive in the areas that he's pushing nutrients into you for the purpose of. Pruning creates stress, but it's temporary stress. And it moves into a release of stress as production increases and the quality of production increases. And that brings us to thought number three. Production always precedes sustainability. Production always precedes sustainability. You cannot lead and live a stress-free life never personally producing. It's impossible. You cannot, because you will always be a dependent. Now, I want to clarify something in this word dependent. Right now, Christy does not work a job outside of our home. Now, she does a ton of work in our home, and she does a lot of work here at this church that most never even know anything about. But she is technically, financially, a dependent of Micah Sutton. But she's a dependent out of choice. She's a dependent because she chooses to be dependent in this area for the greater good. It's not because she cannot be independent. So this is a choice that she's making. If you are a dependent by choice in order to accomplish a greater goal, that is biblically correct and biblically accurate because production is still coming from your life. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Excellent. So production is still coming from your life. But if you are a dependent because you've never learned how to produce anything on your own, then you can't live stress-free. Stress is going to continue to build in your life. Producers will always achieve. Always, no matter what. I'll explain why. Firstly, because a person who is a non-producer, someone who cannot produce from their own life, will always turn to the one who is producing to say, I need some of what you have, what you've produced. So like the farmer produces more grain than they can personally eat, those of us who do not produce grain turn and buy from the farmer so the farmer can live and be sustained. And this, what if you are producing from your life, you're always going to have an audience. You're always going to have somebody who needs what you're bringing to the table. Secondly, producers will always succeed because they fulfill the biblical standard of bearing fruit. I just told you that Jesus said, I'm the vine, my Father's the gardener, and he cuts off non-productive branches off of me, and he prunes even the productive branches from my life so that from lives so that they will produce even more. That's his words, not mine. And the reason why God does this is because he touches the world through those he blesses. So he will bless, then he will release into production. And that's how he blesses the world around him. Now, I've been a pastor for a number of years, and I've been a Christian for longer than that. And I've seen many people blessed by God. But I have yet to see one time where someone said, now, Lord, I'm really in need of some financial blessing. And suddenly bags of gold fell from the sky into their hands. Now, Lord, I want to be clear. If you decide to do that, I'm cool with it. I'll put a dumpster outside if that's what it takes. We're cool. Just being clear between he and I. But I've never seen that happen. You know what I've seen over and over and over? The scripture fulfilled where it says that I will cause men to give unto your bosom. Where one person is blessed in an area and then they use the nutrients that have been placed in their life for that purpose and they push it into someone else's life, living a generous life. They push it into their world and suddenly blessing comes because someone was blessed by God and they allowed the nutrients to flow from to them and then through them, thus blessing others around them. If you will live generously, God will always push blessing into your life because it's how he blesses the world. So why is production important? First, wherever you produce will be sustained. If you, if I'm looking at your family and I see a family that's being sustained, I know there's production happening in that family. If you're producing a harvest, a population will be sustained. If you're producing children, and I want to tell you right now, this church is producing lots and lots of children. Families will be maintained and sustained. If you produce sales, companies will be maintained and sustained. If you want to know why a company's not doing well, it's because they're not selling enough. Pretty simple, right? Because wherever they're producing, that's what's going to be sustained. And then, secondly, whatever you produce becomes your legacy. So wherever you produce, that's what's sustained. Then whatever is produced becomes your legacy. If you produce at work, you're going to leave a legacy of a hard-working person. And they'll say, man, when Bob was here, it was always top-notch. Now that Bob's not here and you're here, If you produce at home, you're going to leave a legacy of a household. If you produce at church and in the kingdom of God, then you're going to leave a legacy of souls. Now, I'm going to encourage you that when you produce in the kingdom of God and leave a legacy of souls, it's the only area of production where you are touching the present, touching the past, but also reaching into the eternal future where the scripture says, lay up your treasures not here on earth, but in heaven where dust and rust and moths do not corrupt, because there is a treasure for you after you leave this earth and move on into your heavenly reward. So it's the only area that we're able to reach into the future as well as the past. Where are we being productive? Where are you sustaining? What are you sustaining? You might say, well, I really struggle to put stuff together with my hands. And I'm not really good with coming up with new ideas. So, Pastor, I'm really struggling with this. What am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to do it? Well, let me give you a helpful tip. If you are a child of God, there is an area where you and where every child of God has the ability to be productive from your life consistently. The Bible says it this way in Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. So when the Holy Spirit's in your life and manifesting through your life, Everywhere you go, love is there. Joy is there. When you walk in the room, people go, oh, they're here. Not, oh, they're here. How about patience? When you walk in the room, patience arrives. How many are still working on that one? Okay. Patience arrives. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Nor can they be, because they are works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And every one of us in this room, every one of us, can be producers of the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you can't build the first thing with your hands. And maybe you haven't had an idea since 1922. But you can produce the fruit of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is working and living in you. Praise God. Praise God. Most continued stresses of life are not God's designed, but they're from choices that we've made. Christy and I, we've told you the stories that we were in some major financial difficulties at times, and not one of the times that we were in financial difficulty was it because God said, hey, Micah, I just want to bless you with all this debt right here. So it's just really going to help you. Every time it was because we said, hey, can we afford that? Well, we don't really have the cash. Well, how much room do we have on this credit card? How much room do we have on this credit card right here? I want to tell you that none of these credit cards that I'm holding in my hand have balances on them. How much? So sometimes we charge and we charge and we charge and we charge and charge, and then we say, now, God, why'd you put me in all this financial mess? And God's like, huh? Huh? That wasn't me. It was our choices. And I'll tell you, if you're in a situation right now where you need to get out of debt and live debt-free, when your debt goes down, your stress goes down too. And if that's you, I encourage you, get involved in Financial Peace University. You will learn God's management system concerning finances. It will help you. Say, well, that's tough. I can't even imagine that living in a debt-free life. No, maybe you can't. But the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single. So that means that you have to take the step. And Christy and I had a 10-year plan to become debt-free. And it took about half that. And we were saying, how is this even happening? And here's what I can tell you for sure. If you do right things, God will bless the right things that you do. And you will find that what you never thought could be becomes the reality of your life. God directs us towards stress-free living. Being strong in any company. Being independent by choice. But you must choose to follow his direction. You must say, I'm going to focus on what's in my hand, not on everything that's in this world. I'm going to focus on my business and allow restoration to come into my life and wholeness to be the reality in which I live. Then we have to dedicate ourselves to producing something. Maybe today you're trying to figure out, what am I producing? First, ask the question, what am I good at? And if you can identify what you're good at, then you can begin identifying what you can produce. Some of you are great salespeople. Some of you, sales, that terrifies you. Then don't be a salesperson. Do something else. If you can't keep anything alive, don't be a gardener. I do all of my gardening at the grocery store. What are you good at? Now what can you produce? You don't have to produce a million things. Produce one thing. And allow God to take that one thing and duplicate it and make it two and make it three and make it four and make it. We've all felt the weight of stress. And I told you about the situation in my own life where physically stress caused difficulties in my world. I hope it doesn't go that far with you. But if you're stressed, it's going to come out somewhere. Some of you are stressed and so you're angry all the time. Some of you are stressed and it's being revealed as depression in your life. Now, there's a depression that comes from chemical imbalances and so on and so forth that can be dealt with medications. And I encourage you, don't be ashamed of that. I've said it a million times. This is not a place of shame. This is a place where no shame exists. We're open in front of our Father. Amen. But some of you are dealing with depression that just has to do with stress in your life. And if you can reduce the stress, your depression would go away. How about anxiety? Some of you are dealing with fear. Some people, whenever they are stressed, they gain weight. Some people, when they're stressed, they lose weight. How many are like, okay, God bless me with that problem, Lord? But I know a man right now, I could tell you his name, who and just an incredible man of God, that stress caused him to lose weight to the point where he's completely unhealthy and working hard to gain weight. And I thank the Lord he's becoming whole, but that's not the kind of weight you need to lose. It's going to come out somehow. So the scripture says this. God speaking to his people through Paul's writing. In addition to loving other Christians, seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Why? So that you may walk properly in the presence of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone. If that's your prayer today, I'm going to pray for you. Why don't you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And if that's your prayer, just reach out to heaven in your heart and just say, Father, I receive this into my life today. I'm going to do everything that I need to do to make this happen. But I need you to do what only you can do so that I can live this life. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every need. You see every situation. The needs and the situations are going to be there until the day you take us home. But what doesn't have to be there is the consistent fear, the consistent anxiety that comes from feeling like what we possess never matches the demands being laid on our lives. Father, you are all in all. Whatever the issue is, you're still the answer. And so today I pray that there would be provision poured out into people's lives. I pray that there would be healing poured out into lives. I pray that wisdom and clarity would be poured out into lives, that people would leave here today and begin to put their hand to work at whatever you've blessed them in, whatever nutrition you're pushing into their life, that they would use that to produce something great from their life. And we're trusting you to do what we can't, and to bring revelation to what we don't understand, so that your people can live a stress-free life and produce things for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say amen. 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 Stand to your feet, would you please? Prayer partners, would you come forward? If you need prayer for anything at all, it doesn't have to have anything to do with how to preach, but come forward. Let us join with you in prayer as we sing this closing song this morning.